Good morning. Today's daf and gittin is Gimel. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf as long as Echanish Mas Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. We just finished one round of Rabba and Rava, and we're going to go through a second round and a third round. And this will cover a lot of our discussion for the balance of this week. We learned together in the Mishnah that someone who's transporting a get from Medina Siam, from outside of Eretz Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, so he has to say four magical words, Befane Nechtav or Befane Nechtam. That shliach, when delivering the get, has to not only deliver the get, as his shlichus authorizes him to do so, but also he must say the formula of that this get was written in front of me, Befane Nechtav, and Befane Nechtam, and it was also signed in front of me. And failure to do so, if he does not say this magical formula, so the get's not going to be a good get. Okay, that's what we learned together in the Mishnah. The Mishnah illustrated a number of alternate scenarios where you're transporting a get intra Eretz Yisrael from one place in Eretz Yisrael to another place in Eretz Yisrael. Mishnah discussed bringing it from one place in outside of Eretz Yisrael to another place outside of Eretz Yisrael, and the Mishnah also brought in a couple of specific geographical locations, Kfar Lud, Lud, etc., etc. But the basic point in the Mishnah is that when you bring in a get as a shliach from outside of Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, so you must say Befane Nechta, Befane Nechta. That's the halacha that we learned together in the Mishnah. We asked the question yesterday, the Gemara's first question, my time, why? Why should that be? So on this, the Gemara is going to bring in two opinions. The Gemara already brought in two opinions yesterday, Rabba and Rava. Okay, excuse the similarity of names, but we already apologized for that yesterday. So Rava's of the opinion that the issue is Lishma. We know that one of the most fundamental halachas regarding a get is that it must be written Lishma. The pasuk says, the kas of la, and you write it for her, and it must be specifically for her. The definition of Lishma in the context of a get means that when the sofer writes it, he knows specifically who it's intended for. Nobody's allowed to pick up a get and say, hey, look at that. The name of this get are parallel to mine and my wife's. Okay, what a fortuitous opportunity, and you're going to take the get and use it. You can't do that. The halacha demands that the sofer writes it specifically for the man and this woman. That's the halacha of lishma. So, according to Rabbah, what are we worried about? Our concern is that in Medinas Hayam, they're not that learned. They don't know about this halacha of lishma. Could be that there was a whole bunch of gets that were pre-written, and the sofer just simply took it off the shelf and they signed it, and that's no good. So what the shliach is really testifying is, b'fanei nechtam, is that yes, indeed, the get was written lishma. There is a Rashi that we saw yesterday, controversial Rashi. Rashi says, and how do those four words produce the conclusion that the get was in fact written lishma? So Rashi says, well, once the shliach says, b'fanei nechtam, which really has nothing to do with lishma, all it's saying is, it was written in front of me, and it was signed in front of me. So Rashi says, but that'll induce the next question. Because then we'll ask the shliach, oh, and by the way, was it written lishma? So, and the shliach will say, yes, it was written lishma. So according to Rashi, it's a little bit strange because the four-word formula, according to Rabbah, really, even though its intent is to make sure that the get was written lishma, but it's not actually saying it's written lishma. And really, it's a follow-up question, which is really important. Tosfos, after citing Rashi, we saw this yesterday. Tosfos, after citing Rashi, says it can't be that the Befane Nechtam needs follow-up questions. Tosfos says it must be. Tosfos on Beis Amud Beis. Divar Amaskal Afishe Ein Bikin Lishma. Tosfos says it must be that the words Befane Nechtam are to be understood that yes, indeed, the get was written Lishma, and there does not need to be any follow-up question. Okay, so basic machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos, whether or not there is going to necessarily be a follow-up question. We saw that yesterday. So that is all according to Rabbah. Rabbah with a hey is of the opinion that the whole purpose of Befane Nechtam is to ensure that when the sofer wrote it, Medina Siam, since they're not super knowledgeable, so therefore they make sure that they know about the halacha of Lishma. Tosfos, I didn't make this point yesterday, but I'll quickly mention. There are a number of other things that disqualify a get. And we're worried about the people of Medina Siam not being knowledgeable. So are we only worried specifically about the psul of Lishma? Are we also worried about other psulim as well? So Tosfos over here, again, I didn't mention this yesterday. Tosfos over here says we're only worried about Lishma. We're not worried about any other psulim. And Tosfos goes on to say, this was from yesterday's daf, Tosfos went on to say that the Lishma is uncharacteristic of other psulim in that the lishma is not actually mentioned in the Torah. The lishma is learned out from a drasha. The kus of la, la means lishma. How do we know that? So we know that because we have mesorah, we have Torah Shema Peh. But the Mimedinas Yam, the sofer Mimedinas Yam, are not as knowledgeable in that one particular area. It's not beferish, it's not explicit in the Torah. And so it's Tosfos says we're only worried about that psul, and we're not worried about a lack of knowledge in other psulim. That's Tosfos from yesterday's daf. Anyway, opposed to Rabba is Rava. Rava's of the opinion, Rava with an aleph, that no, that the issue over here is b'fanei nechtam has nothing to do with us coming to terms with whether or not the get was written lishma or not lishma. That's not the issue. According to Rava, the issue is kim shtaros. We know that in order for a document to be a certified document, so it has to go through a process of kiyum. The second parak of Ksuvos discusses this at length. Right, I know for us it's going back some time. Ksuvos was the second mesecta we learned in Seder Nashim, and now we're in the second to last mesecta of Seder Nashim, so it was some time ago. But in mesecta Ksuvos, in the second perek, we talked about the kiyum hashtaros. Kiyum hashtaros is like a extra level of security and protection to make sure that the document was not a forged document. So the reason why, according to Rava, that this one shlech is going to come in and say b'fanei nechtam, is to make sure that we know that the shtar is mikuyam. Generally speaking, for kiyum shtars, you need two witnesses, not one witness. The Gemara on today's daf is going to ask that question, and we're going to respond to that question today. Okay.
Why can't it be for both purposes, for lishma and for shtar?
I'm going to ask you to hold your question. Your question is excellent, and I'm going to ask you to hold on to it and be patient. The Gemara is going to address that about, it's either tomorrow or Friday, but it's got that your question is coming up.
Isn't the shaliach in the Rabbi Dabar? So it behooves him to say it because otherwise he can't finish his shlichus.
No, but not necessarily. In other words, the shlichus is to deliver the get. And that's all he needs to do, just deliver the get. The b'fanei nechtam is an extra form. It's extra words it needs to say, and without saying it, it's no good. But that's not the shlichus. The shlichus is just simply to deliver. Okay, that is all a quick review of what we saw yesterday. The Gemara asked the following question against Rabba. So let's start in the Gemara on Beis Amud Beis. We did this yesterday, but let's just restart from the question. So, according to Rabba, I know it's like most of yesterday's daf, but most of yesterday's daf, second Amud, is very short. Ula Rabba, it's five lines down from the top of the Amud. Ula Rabba, Damar Lefishe, Mikin Lishma, Libai Trey. So if the issue is an issue of Lishma, we're going to testify that the sofer, when writing the get, wrote it Lishma, Lishem, this man, and Lishem, this woman. So basically, we're talking about testimony. If we're talking about testimony, we need two witnesses. Midadava, call Adios Shabbatorah. So the Gemara says, isn't it no different than any other type of Adios? When I have testimony, I need two. So the Gemara's first approach to this is Eidach HaNeman B'Yisurin. Gemara says, yeah, but we have a general rule that when it comes to Isser, so one witness is going to believe regarding Isser. As Rashi explained yesterday, and Tosfos also, which we didn't go over yesterday, but as Rashi points out, that look, Shechita, Nikur, right? You don't need two witnesses to say that I shechted the animal. If I come to you and I say I shechted the animal, you're going to believe me. Eidach HaNeman B'Yisurin. And where does that come from? Tosfos yesterday cite sources for this anyway, but that's a general rule. It's an accepted rule. Eidecha neman b'yisurin. So over here, the Gemara says, so that's why one witness is believed. The Gemara does not like this approach. It's true that we believe one witness, but only under the following circumstances. That's where there's no presumptive state of Isser. Aval hacha. But over here, what are we talking about here? She's a married woman. She's in a presumptive state of Isser. She can't be with another man. Being with another man at this point in time would be Neof. The child that's produced is going to be a Mamzer. We're talking about a woman who's married, who's in a presumptive state of Isser. And then the Gemara adds, The next phrase, "Have a davar she'be'erva," or the girsa on the side is "Vehave davar she'be'erva." Now, I did mention quickly yesterday. Is the Gemara over here making one point, or is the Gemara making two separate points? Meaning, either the Gemara is just simply having one thread of thought, which is this is the presumptive state of Isser, it's different, or the Gemara is also making an additional point, and maybe that's the extra vav over here. "Vehave davar she'be'erva," and on top of that, we're now discussing arayos, and we know that in the world of arayos, you need two witnesses. Ve'ein davar she'be'erva pachus mishnayim. Whenever you're going to create an erva or remove a status of erva, you need two. So the Gemara says that if we are talking about the testimony of the validity of the get, in order to permit this married woman to no longer be married and be with another man, so A, she has his chazik isura, and B, it's a davar she'be'erva. Of course you need two witnesses. To which the Gemara's answer is Rav Bikinein. So the Gemara's response was, it's true, but what are we talking about? We're talking about the idea of Lishma. Gemara says, you know what? Fundamentally, everybody knows about Lishma, and if not everybody, most everybody knows about Lishma. And I can even throw Rav Meir into this discussion. Now, generally speaking, if it's something which is an improbability, Rav Meir is concerned about an improbability. When I say concerned, I mean, generally speaking, he'll be machmir even on improbabilities. Stam sifra de dani migmar gemiri. That's true, but over here we're talking about sofrim, meaning who's writing gittin, not you and I. I mean, you may be a sofer, so it could, you could be in this, but not me. You and I are not writing gittin. The sofer is writing a get. So within the population of those people writing gittin, otherwise known as sofrim, they for sure know about lishma. So v'rabbanan hu de'atzrech. So now, truth of the matter is, me'ikar adin, we have nothing to worry about. We're now discussing an issue of ensuring whether the sofrim are writing it lishma or not. They wrote it lishma. And even b'medina sayam, and even though they're not knowledgeable in medina sayam, but we're talking about the sofrim. They know about lishma. So if they know about lishma, so really then, let's ask the question all over again. So if everybody knows about Lishma, or if most everybody knows about Lishma, when we say most, even satisfying Rav Meir Shita of Choshesh Lemiyuta, so if that's true, so then what do I need? B'fanei Nechta, B'fanei Nechta. So the Gemara addresses that. We're now turning to Daf Gimel Amid Aleph. V'hacha mishum iguna akilu bei Rabbanan. Over here, it's a rabbinic requirement that you're going to have to testify about the Lishma, even though we know that Maker Adin Lishma was done. And this is only a extra level instituted by the Chachamim. But the Chachamim said, but you know what though? We're going to be Mekel. In other words, if fundamentally we were worried, of course we would need two witnesses. But we're not fundamentally worried. We are just worried on an extra level of stringency. We're going to be machmir, but we're not going to be so machmir that we're going to require two, only machmir to the point we're only going to need one witness. And why? And why only one witness? Because if we require two, and the get will not be valid until there are two, there's a very good chance that we're not going to be able to have two witnesses there, and that means that the get is not going to be... it's not going to pass through, and here's a woman now who's going to be stuck. And to the best of their ability, they're going to try to prevent a woman from being stuck. The Gemara says that is what's going on over here. Mishum iguna akila bei rabbanan. The Gemara says akulahu chumru. Gemara says I don't really view this as a kula. In fact, I view this as a chumru. Why? Because consider, if let's say the chachamim did require two witnesses, fine, and two witnesses came. And they said, b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. And again, remember, this is all within the position of Rabbah. And again, the only reason why they're doing this is an extra stringency to make sure that the get was written Lishma. But once there are two witnesses, who's going to mess with two witnesses? The husband's going to come along at a later point in time and say, hey, wait a second, this is a forged document. Okay. But meanwhile, two witnesses came, two witnesses testified, and they said, b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. No one is going to mess with two witnesses. Now that you only require, the Chachamim only required one witness, so let's say the one witness delivers the get and says, b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. And again, the Chachamim said, okay, let it pass. Why? Let's be mekel, let it pass. Okay, but here the Gemara says, I'll anticipate the following. Let's say the husband comes at a later point in time, and the husband challenges and contests the validity of the get. Now what? It's one husband's word against one shliach's word. That's one against one. So now we have a serious problem. So the Gemara says, I can easily envision that this leniency by the Chachamim is going to produce a terrible result. So the Gemara says, Upasalei. Chad ase ba'o umare upasale. I'm sorry. Tre lo ase ba'o umare upasale. Chad ase ba'o umare upasale. So kevin de amamar. The Gemara says, I'll tell you what. I'm not worried about that circumstance for the following reason. Bifnei kama no snow law. When the shliach delivers the get to the woman, he may not do so without a gathering. There has to be a gathering of people over there. Now, how many? Rav Yochanan, Rabbi Chanina, Chad Amar Bifnei Beis, V'Chad Amar Bifnei Gimel. So the Gemara says it's a machlokas. I'm wondering whether it's two or three. We're going to discuss that machlokas later on. That the Gemara will explain these two positions. But right now, all we need to know is that it will be done in front of a gathering. So it's like public speaking, which most people don't like. But it's like public speaking. You know you're going to do. You're speaking in front of a crowd, so you're going to be prepared. Here, when the shliach knows that he's not just presenting the get to the woman, but doing so in front of a group of either two or three, whatever the number is. So at that point in time, mi'ikara meidagdaik v'lo asi le'orui nafshe. He's going to make sure that every T is crossed, every I is dotted. He's going to make sure that the get is absolutely valid. Now Rashi goes even one step further than the Gemara. Well, not really one step further, but in explaining the Gemara, Rashi writes as follows. Meikara meidagdaik, Rashi, first narrow line of the Amud. When the shlich accepts the get from the husband, this is outside of Eretz Yisrael, and he knows, and he's going to make sure that the husband is doing this willingly, and there that so that it never will get to the point that the husband's going to challenge the validity of the get, because the shlich knows that when he delivers the get, it will be done in front of a group. Oh, I'm sorry. V'lo yar'er od. V'inami. And here's where Rashi goes even one step further. And let's say, says Rashi, orer. Let's say the husband does come and challenge. Despite the fact that the shliach made sure you're good with this, you want to give it, yeah, okay. Because remember, when I deliver the get, I'm delivering it in front of a group of people. Are you sure you're okay with it? The husband says yes. Then the shliach delivers it. And then the husband comes and he challenges. Rashi writes, Eino ne'eman. We are not going to believe the husband. Devade dak b'milso shapir. It's almost as if Rashi's saying, Rashi doesn't say this as specific as I'm saying, but it's as almost if this one witness becomes as strong as two witnesses, meaning the protest of the husband will not work against the quote-unquote testimony of this one shlech. Once the shlech says, b'fanenechtam, and included in that is the knowledge that he made sure that the get was written correctly. He made sure that the husband was a willing participant. He knew that he was going to be giving it in front of a crowd. Considering all that, so then the shliach is going to be believed even above and over the objection of the husband. So says Rashi. Back to the Gemara. Ule Rava. Okay, switching gears now. So the Gemara just went through a simple Q&A according to Rabbah, where it's the testimony to testify that the get was written lishma. Why not require two? Why do we only have one? Answer, fundamentally you need zero. That's the Gemara's answer. But this is an extra measure of protection that the Chachamim wanted, but they didn't want to be too overbearing. So therefore, instead of having two witnesses, they allowed for the use of one witness. Okay, we're going to basically go through the same Q&A for Rava. Rav is of the opinion that the reason why you say b'fanenechtam is kiyum shtaros. This is a certification of a document. So here, same Q&A, just now for Rava. Ula Rava damer lefishen edem mitsuyin lekaimo li by tre. So according to Rava, shouldn't we be bothered by the fact that if we're talking about kiyum shtaros, we mentioned this yesterday, there are three ways to be mekayim shtar. One, have the witnesses themselves testify their signature. Two, have two other witnesses come and say, we recognize these signatures. Three, compare this document to an already certified document that shares the same signatures. I already pointed out yesterday that Rashi, when introducing us to these ideas yesterday on the bottom of Beis Amud Aleph, Rashi only brought two of the three cases of Kiyam Shtaros. For reasons which are not perfectly clear to me, the third method of comparing this document to another document does not play in the case of the get.
Potential for forgery there,
I understand, but in general it works. I agree with you, but
maybe that's why Rashi is concerned.
I understand that, but the Gemara says it works. So it's I understand your suggestion, but it's hard to suggest that when the Gemara itself says it's fine either way. So over here now, question: according to Rava, where the whole purpose of doing so is Kiyam Shtaros, shouldn't I need two? Midadave Kiyam Shtaros Dama. Just like any time we're doing Kiyam Shtar, you need two. So the Gemara's answer is Edecha Ne'aman Bisorim. And again, the thread now of the Gemara is going to be identical. So the Gemara says, yeah, but this is Isser, and one witness is sufficient. The Gemara says, just give me a second. Eimadami Ne'edecha Ne'aman Bisorim can go in Chaticha Safik Shal Chela Safik Shal Shuman. Dolois Chazik Isura. That's true when I have a piece of fat in front of me. I do not know whether it's chaylev or shuman, and what's going to and one witness comes and says, "Oh, don't worry, I know it's shuman. It's not chaylev. It's fine." Aval hachitz chazik isura de eshes ish. Over here, we're talking about she's in a presumptive state of being a married woman. That's point number one. And then, again, not perfectly sure whether or not this is a second point or just an attachment to the first point. And on top of that, we're talking about arayos. And you know that whenever you're testifying about arayos, you need two witnesses. So, question is basically the same question, but now for Rava. Shouldn't I need two? Answers the Gemara. Bidinu debikim shtaros nami loli baye. The Gemara says, again, it's basically the same answer. Fundamentally, how many witnesses do I need? Zero. When I have two witnesses signing on a document, that is it. Their signatures on the document is ki'ilu, it's as if they're in court testifying in court. That's it. What more do you need to empower a document other than the signature of the two witnesses? And their signature is like actual testimony itself. So truth be told is that this whole idea of Kiyam Shtaros on a Torah level is unnecessary. And it's the Chachamim who required this idea of Kiyam Shtaros. And now, if I'm going to demand, if the Chachamim are going to demand, that we're going to need not one, but two witnesses to traverse over the path from outside of Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, so it's going to be very hard, it's going to be very difficult. So the Chachamim were making, the Chachamim said, we'll only get one. And that'll be enough. And we'll believe, in this case, we'll believe the one witness. And again, the thread is still the same. Haikula uchumra, the Gemara says, I can envision this being a chumra. Because if the, upasole. If we require two, so then the husband would never contest two. But charasi baal ma'arir, upasole. But if now you're saying we only need one, so what's going to stop the husband later on coming in and contesting the validity of the get? So the Gemara says, "Came down my mar b'fnei kama nosnala Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chanin, achadam b'fnei shayim, achadam b'fnei gimel mikar meidakdai v'lasi alaru nafshe." And again, the Gemara gives the same answer. Since this shliach knows that he's going to be presenting the get in front of a group, either two or three, he's going to make sure that that the get is going to be, in fact, a good get. The signatures are, in fact, good signatures. And let's just restate Rashi. And even over the protest of the husband, we're going to believe the shliach over the protest of the husband. Okay. No, it sounds like from the Gemara, and you'll see from the upcoming discussion, that this is limited only to get.
It only applies to this. So why do you say really? Because it sounds like it's a general rule that you have to. But we're
makel by default. Right. Well, it's makel because in general you would need to. Meaning, if it's generally kiyam shtaros.
Which you said that don't. Other shtaros that
come from. I'm sorry, we miscommunicated. And by other shtaros, you need two. For kiyam, you need two. That's on me.
The thing is, in terms of Kiyam Shtar, the two witnesses who signed on the get, they did the Kiyam.
No, the signing is not the Kiyam. The Kiyam is an additional step that's done, where it's a second step. It's like an extra security measure.
What are they verifying then?
What's going to happen in the second step of certification is that after they sign, so then they're going to present the document and testify about their own signature. The Gemara Ksuvah.
But my question is, what's the purpose of their signature on the document?
That creates a document. Meaning, you start off by actually creating a document. Their signatures on the document are empowering the document. Without their signatures, the document is nothing.
Or any document that doesn't mean that it's verifying it.
And then on top of that, they're going to verify it. It's Kiyum Shtaris. It's the second step. It's a second step that's done as an extra measure of protection.
But here is a shliach. The shliach is assigned to the GF.
No, but you don't need, again, go back to what we saw yesterday.
I know the shliach is an extra thing that Rabbanu
right.
put in.
Right. Okay. All right. V'rava maitam alo amakiraba. Okay, and here we go. The Gemara now is going to go the back and forth. Okay, so we have in our Mishnah the requirement of saying b'fani nechta, b'fani nechta. We have two opinions amongst the Amoraim, Rabba and Rava. Rabba says the issue is testifying and verifying that the get was written l'shma. Rava's of the opinion that we're doing this so for the purposes of kiyum shtaris, to be mekayim. If according to both, don't I need two? The Gemara's answer according to both is, no, I don't. that's a gross oversimplification, but that's what we just saw in the Gemara. The Gemara now continues, Rava, my tamalo amakaraba. Why doesn't Rava agree with Rava? Amlecha mikitani b'fani nechtav l'shma, b'fani nechtam l'shma. Very simple argument that Rava is going to produce, or the Gemara is producing on behalf of Rava. And that is, if the whole issue is testimony over l'shma,
say it.
Say the get was written l'shma. If that's the whole reason why we're saying it, so say it. And what are we doing now? We're adding two more words. And it's not even two more words. It's just the word lishma. Befane nechtav lishma. Befane nechtam lishma. Say it. So the Gemara's answer, Rabba bedino de lesnei hachi. And Rabba will tell you that, you know what, you're right. But ella di mafsha le dibura asa lemigze. So, but once you give the shliach more words to say, so then, kol amosif goreya. By adding, you're going to be subtracting. Keep it simple. So you give him a line of four words, or if you will, two times two, b'fanenechtam, good. But once you're going to give him more words to have to say, kol amosif goreya, he's going to end up cutting off. Hashanam yasa lemigzei. So the Gemara says, okay, if you're bothered by six words, him being unable to say six words, well, I would say the same thing by four. The Gemara says, "Chadamitlas guys, Chadamitartalo guys." So the Gemara says that in terms of memorizing your lines, if it's a two-word phrase, people can handle a two-word phrase. If it's a three-word phrase, so then we're a little bit more concerned. Okay, I hear. It's hard for me to see the big difference between two words versus three words, but the Gemara says that will be a defense of Rabbah, even though the issue is lishma. But once we attach the word lishma to the statement, there's a better chance that he's going to mess the statement up. Rabbi,
what would he say?
I know the Gemara is defending Rabbi. I hear you, but okay. Rabbi, my tama lo amaka Rava, and now Rabbi, why doesn't he say like Rava? I'm lechaim kein yisnim befanei nechtam v'su lo befanei nechtav lamali shma menabi inu l'shma. So Rabbi has a very good point. Why does he objecting to Rava's position of kiyum shtaros? Because kiyum shtaros is a testimony about the signatories. To make sure that it's the signatures belong to the people who signed it. You don't need to find a nechtav. It was written in front of me. I'm very happy that the get was written in front of you. That's not what kiyum shtar is. Kiyum shtar is on the signatures. All you need to say is b'fani nechtav, and that would be sufficient.
It says cost of law. It also has been
No, but again, you're confusing the issues. The cost of law, that's an issue of lishma.
Right.
Rava's position is, I'm not worried about lishma. Of course it has to be lishma, but it's just not a concern of mine. The only reason why the shliach is saying b'fanei nechtav is only because of kiyum. And Rava's counter-argument is, well, if kiyum is the only thing you're worried about, so then just simply say b'fanei nechtam, and that should be it. It was signed in front of me. The Rava bedinu delisne hachi eladim kenasi lechlufa bekiyum shtaros ta'ama be'ed echad. Rava says, I agree with you. Of course, you're right. The key words are b'fanei nechtam, and b'fanei nechtav, according to me, is unnecessary. But I'll tell you why it was added. It was added because imagine that the shliach comes in, stands there in Beis Din. I have a bunch of people watching what's going on, and he says, "Befanei nechtam, it was signed in front of me." That's one witness now testifying about kiyum shtaros. From there, I can easily construct an argument that everyone there is going to be thinking, kiyum shtaros, you only need one witness. I was in court the other day, and I saw one guy testify about the signatures of the witnesses of the get. Beis Din was like, okay, good, approved, certified. Oh, so one witness is all you need for kiyum shtaros. So the Gemara says, that's the problem. That's why, now formulaically, we're going to have the shliach say, b'fanei nechtav u'b'fanei nechtam, so that people know that this is unusual, because we're going to make it unusual, and so no one's going to erroneously conclude that kiyum shtaros only requires one witness. So this is Rava's argument in terms of why you say b'fanei nechtav u'b'fanei nechtam.
Unusual
is, yeah, you don't have to say anything about the ksav, about the writing of the get. And now you come into court and you say, b'fanei nechtav, it was written in front of me, u b'fanei nechtam, and it was signed in front of me. So since you say that extra phrase of b'fanei nechtav, so now we're making it a little bit unusual so that people don't confuse this with regular kiyum shtaros. So the Gemara says, asel chufa b'kiyum shtaros dama b'edachat, v'rabba midami. Now Rabba's counter-argument is as follows. No one will be confusing this and quote-unquote regular kiyum shtaros. There are three basic differences between what's going on right now versus quote-unquote regular kiyum shtaros. Hasam yedina hacha b'fanei. First of all, by regular kiyum shtaros, all you simply have to come into court and say is, I know that person's signature. You don't, for kiyum shtaros, you don't have to say, he signed it in front of me. That's not necessary. All you have to simply know is, I know that signature. That's number one. Here, in the case of the shliach delivering the get, he's saying, b'fanai. That already, number one, makes it unusual. Two, hasam isha lo mehemna achisha mehemna. A second point. And that is, a woman can be the one delivering the get and saying the words, b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtav. Now again, all this is, according from Rava's standpoint, a function of kiyum shtar. Normally, a woman is not going into court and testifying about the signatures, and she does not have the ability to do so. And over here, she does. So that's another fundamental difference between this kiyum shtar versus general kiyum shtar. And three, hastam bal davar lo mehemen, hacha bal davar mehemen. Generally speaking, the principal person himself involved in the case. In this case, it's a husband and a wife. Whoever the document is speaking about, the lender, the borrower, generally speaking, can the bal davar, can the principal person, can he testify? Of course the answer is no. He's a bal davar. Over here, however, can the husband himself deliver, or can the woman herself, who is delivering the get? The husband's not delivering it, by the way. Correct. So if the woman is delivering the get, now how does that work exactly? So you see Rashi. The case is a little bit strange, but the point still is going to be made. If the woman herself is delivering the get, she can say b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtav, and she'll be believed. So you see over here on three different ways, this is already an unusual circumstance. I don't need to make it stranger by adding the words b'fanei nechtav. It's already an anomaly in the world of kiyum shtaros. So Rabba will say to Rava, you don't need the extra words b'fanei nechtav. Why the extra words b'fanei nechtav there? Because I'm right. Because this is all an issue of lishma. This is not kiyum shtaros. The Rava, towards the bottom of the Amud, Amalacha, Atu hachi kiyamer yadin and mila mehemen, bekevin de kiyamer yadin mehemen, asi lachlufa bekiyum shtaros da ama beid echad. So Rava will tell you the following. I still think I'm right. I still think that the whole issue over here is kiyum shtaros, and I'm still worried about confusing this with other cases of kiyum shtaros. He says, consider the following. Let's say the shliach makes it across from outside of Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael and stands in front of Beis Din. And in delivering the get, and he says, not the magical words of b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtav. But let's just simply say he says, I know the signatures. According to Rava, the whole issue is kiyum shtaros. He says, I know the signatures. He didn't say the magic words, b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtav. You're going to tell me we're not going to believe him? The whole reason, according to Rava, of why we're saying b'fanei nechtav, is because that serves as kiyum shtaros. If he doesn't say, but he says, I know the signatures. Don't you think we're going to believe him? So basically, this can now turn into a scenario where one witness going into court, look right with the get in hand, saying, I know these signatures, and of course we're going to believe him. And this can now easily be confused with a regular case of kiyum shtaros. Rava says that's why I need the extra words of b'fanei nechtav. Okay. Okay. Now we're gonna move back to Rabba. Rabba says that the whole reason of saying b'fanei nechtam is because of a concern of lishma. Gemara says, let's consider now the following. Okay. Let me just. I should before I read the next part of Gemara, we should open up with the following introduction. Okay. One of the biggest topics that we're going to be seeing over the course of our Masechta, and we're going to keep hitting it again and again, is when we're talking about a get. So, what's the construct of a get? It is first the it's the tofes. It's the standard text of right. If you'll forgive me, I don't know the standard text of the get by heart, but basically, I'm divorcing you. Okay. It's not written in first person, right? This person is divorcing. This man is divorcing this woman, and she's free to marry whoever she wants, etc., etc. Okay, and then you have the signatures on the bottom of the get by two kosher edim. Okay, that's your standard format of the get. What is the ikar haget? What's the main component of the get? Your two options are the text that was written on the get, or the signatures signed by the two edim. This is a basic machlokas tanayim as to what is considered the main component of the get. What gives the get its oomph, its power, its koach? So it's a machlokas between Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Lazar. And we're going to see, it's both. And we're going to see throughout the Masechta this issue being debated again and again. So, according to Rebbe Meir, the ikar get is the chasima. It's the signature of the witnesses. According to Rebbe Lazar, the ikar get is the ksiva. It's the writing of the document itself, not the signatures. Why do I need witnesses? According to Rebbe Lazar, to watch it being passed over from the husband to the wife. The edim is sira. Okay. So now, with all that in mind, so now let's consider the following. We're really discussing now what's more significant, the Eidei Ksiva or the Eidei Chasima. According to Rabbah, why are we going into court and saying the words B'fanei Nechtam, B'fanei Nechtam? Because we're worried that it wasn't written Lishma. We're worried that what wasn't Lishma? Was it the Ksiva of the Get or was it the Chasima? That's important. Well, Rabbah says you're going to go into court and you're going to say it was all done Lishma. B'fanei nechtav, it was written in front of me, and b'fanei nechtam, and it was signed in front of me. Well, which one is it? And although Hedi said, well, maybe it's both, the Gemara is not even going to, we'll entertain it, but the Gemara says, you got to pick. Either you're going like Rebbe Meir, or you're going like Rebbe Lazar. And the idea that it's going on both, so who is that? Which Tana is that that says that there's such an option? Who says C? Right, all of the above. So this is what the Gemara now is going to discuss. Ula Rabba, so we're on the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis. The Amar Lefishein Bekin Lishma. According to Rabba, what we're doing is the Shlech is testifying that the get was written Lishma. And again, I shouldn't have said the word written. That the get was Lishma. Let's leave it like that. So Man Haytana, Dabai Ksiv Lishma, Ubai Chasim Lishma. Who's the Tana who's of the opinion that it's got to be both? It's got to be both a ksiva and a chasima lishma. E Rabbi Meir chasima by ksiva lo by. According to Rabbi Meir, the most significant part of the get is the signatures. It's the chasima. So according to Rabbi Meir, so if it's the chasima, so what should that shliach be saying? B'fanei nechtam, and that's it. The Rabbi Meir Chasim Abai Ksiv Alo Abai did not. And the Gemara says, and oh, by the way, let's just make this point very clear. Ein Kosrim Mechuba LaKarka, you're not allowed to write again on something which is connected to the ground. Now, we generally, when we conceive of a get, we generally think of the get written on a parchment, on a cloth. Okay, but it doesn't have to be. The get can be written on any object. However, as we'll learn later in the Mesechta, can't be written on something which is connected to the ground. So, and if I write it on something which is connected to the ground, but then I uproot it, and then after uprooting it, then I sign it, and then it's given to her, it would be kosher. Now, that okay, so you write it on a papyrus, but the papyrus is still in the ground. I write the get on the papyrus. I know that's strange. I then detach it. I then sign it. I then deliver it to her. The Mishnah says, the Mishnah later on, we'll see it a couple weeks from now. Mishnah says that's fine. Why should that be fine? You know the answer. Why should it be fine? I know that a get cannot be written on something that's connected to the ground. This Mishnah represents the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that the Eide Chasima are Karte. It's the signatures which is the most important part. It gives the get its effectiveness. So even though you wrote it while connected to the ground, not the end of the world, because I detached it, then I signed it. Signature is everything, according to Rabbi Meir. And then you deliver it, so it's kasher. Kasher, by the way, lechatchila, of course, you shouldn't do it because of a concern that you may end up signing it before you detach it from the ground, and that's no good. Fine. And E, Rebbe Lazar, so that Mishnah just is simply establishing that according to Rabbi Meir, the chasima is the most significant part. If that's true, so the shliach should come in from outside of Eretz Yisrael and say, Befanai nechtam. And now, Rabbi Eliezer, Ksiva, Bai, Chasim, Allah, Bai. And according to Rabbi Elazar, for Rabbi Elazar, the most significant part is the Ksiva. So, the Ksiva is the most important part. The Torah says, V'kosav la, you write it for her. The writing is on the Ksiva. The Ksiva has to be Lishma. So, according to Rabbi Elazar, what should the Shlech have to say? Befanai, Nechtav. This idea that you're saying both is appealing to which Tana? Right. So I know that's a simple answer, but the Gemara says v'chitem la'olam Rabbi Elazar hi v'chila by Rabbi Elazar chasim l'shma midaraisa midarabanan by. So the Gemara now is going to try to throw out a couple of suggestions. Maybe, says the Gemara, that according to Rabbi Elazar, you're right. The chasima is chasima is not needed. But midrabanan, maybe on a rabbinic level, there's a requirement that the signing has to be lishma. And so maybe this is b'fanei nechtam is really satisfying the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. The ksiva, of course, has to be lishma. And minatara, not the chasima, but midrabanan, yes. The Gemara says, but it's not true. And I'll tell you why. And I'll tell you how we know that. We know that there are three gets that are puzzle on a derabanan level, and Rabbi Elazar does not require chasim l'shma. Did not. Let's learn another Mishnah today. Gimel getin psulin v'imnisis havlad kasher. There are three disqualified get, but when we say disqualified, we mean on a rabbinic level. And the rabbis are not going to go so far to say that the get's going to be so disqualified that her resulting next marriage and the resulting next children that come from the next marriage are going to be mamzerim. So for example, three examples. Kasa b'ksav yadav ein alav edim. Let's say the husband himself wrote the get with his own hands, but no witnesses. Yeshalav Eidim Ve'in Bozman. Or there are witnesses, but it's not dated. And we're going to talk later in the Masechta about the importance and significance of dating a document. This get is not dated. Yesh Bozman Ve'in Bo Ela Eid Echad. Or let's say it's dated, but it only has one witness. Hare Eilu Shlosha Gitim Psulim. These three get are on a rabbinic level, disqualified. V'imnisei Savlat Kasha, but again, they're not going to go so far as to say that if she remarries with this get, the children are going to be mamzerim. They're not. And then Rabbi Elazar Omer, Ava Pish Ein Alav Edim, Ela Shenasna La Bifnei Edim, Kasher. Rabbi Elazar says that in the scenario where there are no witnesses, but the husband himself wrote the get, not only is it okay if he handed it to her, But even lichatchila, it would be fine. The husband hands it to her in front of a pair of witnesses. The get is perfectly valid. And not only, when we say perfectly valid, you can even collect from encumbered properties. Meaning the get is going to be such a legal document that it will allow her to collect her ksuva, because the get is a way of her proving that she in fact did get divorced. It will be a way for her to bring the get into court and to use it as a vehicle for her to be collecting her ksuva, even from properties that were sold off. But she has a lien on those properties, and she can come and collect from those properties using this get. The point the Gemara is making right now is that according to Rabbi Lazar, the signatures are totally unnecessary. They're not even on a rabbinic level are they necessary. And the only reason why they're there is because of Tikkun Olam. Right? We're going to discuss a lot of this in the fifth paragraph of the Masechta. The idea that it's just an extra means of protecting her. Because now you're going to have two witnesses signing on the document. So the only reason you have signatures according to Rav Elazar is because of Tikkun Olam. In no way, shape, or form are the signatures there to hurt her. According to Rav Elazar, Eidik Siva is what gives the get its validity, and you have it. And so let's just regroup, let's regather, let's ask the question one more time, and tomorrow we're going to hopefully come to some sort of understanding. Rabbah is of the opinion that why do I need the Befanin Echtam? For the purpose of Lishma, to make sure that it was written Lishma. And now the Gemara is in the middle of a question, what was written Lishma? You have two options, either option number one, according to Rabbi Lazar, that the Ksiva was Lishma, or according to Rabbi Meir, that the Chasima was Lishma. The idea that you're saying both Befanei Nechtam or Befanei Nechtam is satisfying which Tana? Not Rabbi Meir, because then you'd only need to say Befanei Nechtav, not Rabbi Lazar, no, not Rabbi Meir, because all you need to say is Befanei Nechtam, not Rabbi Elazar, because then you'd only say Befanei Nechtav. So now, who is he placating by saying Befanei Nechtav u Befanei Nechtam, according to Rabbi? Okay, we're in the middle of asking that question. Tomorrow we're going to come to hopefully some sort of resolution of this issue. Quick recap. So today, basically, a quick recap. I'll do it real quick. That was mostly it. Right, quick recap. Machlokes, why the shliach has to say Befanei Nechtam, Befanei Nechtam? Two opinions, Rabba and Rava. Rabba says to ensure that the get was written Lishma. Rava says as a way of certifying the document. So for both, they asked the question, why not require two? The Gemara gave answers for both. Why doesn't Rava hold like Rabba? Why doesn't Rabba hold like Rava? Gemara gave answers for both. And then the question on the table that we're dealing with right now, which goes into tomorrow's daf, is according to Rabba, why do I need to say both? If the whole issue is Lishma, it's either the Ksiva needs to be Lishma or the Chasima needs to be Lishma. But who says both? Question. Tomorrow we're going to continue with the answer.